beginning of verse 16. Let's hear the word of God. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Heavenly Father, I ask your help this morning. I ask your blessing on the word. I ask that the Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. Probably, if you think about it much, there have been times in your life when you have been misunderstood. You've maybe said something, meaning one thing, you had one idea in your mind, but heard completely different by those who are hearing what you're saying to them. And the response from that exchange can be either good or bad. You know, you might say, your wife say, "What do you want for dinner?" And you'll say, "Oh, I don't care." And then when she sits it down in front of you, you say, "Well, I didn't want that." You see, there's a misunderstanding there. There was a lack of communication. And sometimes we have those things that occur like that. There were times in Christ's ministry that he was misunderstood. You know, even the disciples who were daily at the Master's feet didn't understand everything that they were told. Jesus taught them plainly throughout his ministry that he would go to Jerusalem and that he would die and that he would rise again. They never got that. They never understood that. Even at the point of crucifixion, the disciples figured, well, it's over. They didn't understand what Jesus was telling them and they didn't believe it. In the chapter that we've been looking at, got away from it for a few weeks, but we were looking at Jesus has graciously healed a man who had been incapacitated for 38 years. For 38 years, that's a long time, the man wanted to be able to walk. And for 38 years, he had been frustrated as time after time his opportunity to be healed was taken by someone else. He would sit at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the water to move, making as best an effort as he could to get into the water, only to have somebody else beat him to it. Every time for 38 years. And one day, Jesus walks into this pool. He walks into the porches of the pool. And he approaches the man. He singles the guy out. And he approaches him. And he asks him a simple question. Do you want to be healed? And you recall the man did not give him a simple answer. After 38 years of frustration, you bet would have been the response, right? The question is, do you want to be healed? Oh, absolutely. But when he's asked the question, do you want to be healed? He goes into all the reasons why he can't be.
I can't make it to the water in time. Someone always beats me to it. Nobody is here to help me. I can't. And Jesus just looks at him. And he says, get up. Pick up that mat you're laying on. Roll it up and walk on out of here. And to this particular command, there was no misunderstanding. The guy did it. His arguing with the Lord was over. He just got up and did it. Not everyone was excited by that. Not everyone rejoiced with him in that victory that he was experiencing. Not everybody understood. They didn't get it. The Pharisees didn't understand. But neither did they want to understand. They knew what they knew, and whatever it was that you were doing had to comply with what they were doing. Your thinking had to match their thinking. They couldn't understand what was going on in front of them. And all they could see was a man who was breaking the law. He was violating the law. He was working on the Sabbath. He was carrying a load. I don't know how much that bed weighed. Couldn't have really weighed all that much. But he was carrying it. He was working. These Jewish accusers, these were spiteful men. And they were willingly ignorant. You know, it's bad to be ignorant. You know, I mean, you like to learn as much as you can learn. You know, living in ignorance is not bliss. You know, though some may think so. But these guys are willingly ignorant. I don't want to know. You're going to preach truth to me? I don't want to know truth. Don't tell me that. We've got the law. We've got the Mosaic tradition. That's what we know. They couldn't acknowledge, even for a moment, that what Jesus had done for this paralyzed man was good. They couldn't acknowledge that that was good. All they could see was bad. Breaking the law. Violating the Sabbath. Instead of rejoicing with the man, instead of offering encouragement, instead of saying thanks to Jesus for his grace and his mercy that he showed upon this guy, all they did now was persecute him. They saw Jesus as the enemy, and they sought to fight against him, to persecute him, and to look for a way to kill him. Because Jesus was not going to comply with the legalism of the Pharisee. It says, Jesus answered them. Now, John doesn't record any question that's asked. He just says, Jesus answered them. Maybe Christ understood what was in the heart of those men. Maybe the question didn't need to be asked. Maybe you yourself have found, been in situations where you knew a question that wasn't asked and offered a response, offered an answer. This is where Jesus is at. He says, my Father has been working until now, And I have been working. Even on the Sabbath. Well, if we take it at first blush, we can look at the situation and we can say, all right, well, under Mosaic law, under the Decalogue, the Sabbath is a holy day. And maybe at first blush, these guys have a point. Maybe they have an argument to make. Remember back in Exodus, God gave Moses the law. And it specifically states that on the Sabbath, you shall do no work. Exodus 20 and verse 8. It says, on the Sabbath, you shall do no work. Now, do you know what? Well, when you go back, I'm not going to do it, but when you go back and you read that verse, you read the fullness of the command. Who is not to do any work? You, your sons, your daughters, your servants, strangers who might be in the thing. Wives are not included. Somebody had to make the mashed potatoes. It says specifically in the law, on the Sabbath, you remember the Sabbath day. You keep the Sabbath day because it's holy. And on it you shall do no work. And it also seems obvious if we look at the history of the world. We go back to the book of Genesis. That God gives us an example during creation week. In Genesis 2:2 and 3, it tells us on the seventh day that God ended his work and he rested on the seventh day. Excuse me. What did God do on the seventh day? He quit creating. In 6 days, the work of creation was complete. And on the seventh day, he ceased creating. And in so doing, what he does is he gives us the example that one day of the week should be different. The law tells us that we are to abstain from our usual economic pursuits on the Sabbath. To keep this one day holy. To keep this one day set apart for worship and for spiritual rejuvenation. One day. You got six others to do everything else you want to do. But this one day is to be special. Christianity holds to the Lord's Day. Although we sometimes interchange the term Sabbath. You know, we know what we mean. But the Sabbath day is the seventh day. The Lord's day is the first day. And, you know, we as Christians observe the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day that we keep holy, that we keep different, that we set aside, that we keep set apart for the things of God. Now, God gives us that example. And he tells it to us in the law. But we have to ask, does God ever not work? Is there one day when God says, not today, man. You know how cold it is out there? These covers feel pretty good. Maybe he's like me. He's got one of them electric warmers, man. And you just crank that sucker up for you. Just, oh, I ain't getting out of here. Feeling pretty good. Is there one day of the week where God says, you know what? I don't really want to deal with the regular routine. I think I'm going fishing. Is there ever a day where God does not work? Look, if that ever happened, what would happen to you? And me? What if the day ever came where God said, you know what, today the responsibility is too great. I'm not being God. I'm taking the day off. Where would we be if that ever happened? The fact of the matter is God never stops working. Ever. In God's world, there are no such thing as days. There's no time. That's an inconvenience that we have to put up with. There's no time with God. He never stops working. He daily sees to it that we're cared for. Because God is always working, you have lungs full of air. Because God is always working, your heart continues to beat. Because God is always working, the lilies of the field are always clothed, and the birds of the air are always fed. And more so as it applies to you and I. God is good. And God is always working, doing good. God can do no other. So as we look at this, and we look at the complaint of these men against Christ, we understand there is purpose. For the Sabbath. There is purpose for the Lord's day. And we should not allow the day to become common. The Lord's day is to be special. It is to be set apart. It is to be holy. But necessities are not to be neglected. Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. The disciples are walking through a field and they're hungry. And it happens to be a Sabbath day. And they're walking through the wheat fields and they're just grabbing them and rubbing the wheat in their hands and, you know, eating the grain. And the Pharisees, of course, do not miss this. They say, hey, look at here. You guys are working on a Sabbath, you know, you're picking the crop there and eating it, and then you're not washing it with clean hands, you're eating it with, not eating it with clean hands. You even wash your hands for you. How many times have you been told in your life, wash your hands, then you can eat. Yeah, your disciples are pretty bad examples there, Lord. Working on the Sabbath. Jesus told them, in the 27th verse of Mark 2, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But furthermore, in the very next verse, he makes it clear that I am the Lord of the Sabbath as well. We see that Jesus is Lord. We look at Jesus as Lord. And he says, you know, okay, he's Lord over this, he's Lord over that. But somehow he falls under the Mosaic law. He said, no, I'm the Lord of that as well. You can find that also in Matthew 12 and Luke 6. The Gospels record that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So back to our text, Jesus again, he states, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Now these guys were already worked up because they're looking at Jesus as being a lawbreaker, violating the Sabbath. But then he makes this statement. My Father has been working until now. This statement sends his accusers running for their blood pressure medication. They're going nuts with anger. Did you hear what he said? That's unreal. The anger and the hatred that they had for Christ escalated at that moment. Because by making this statement, Jesus is claiming deity for himself. In the minds of these men, to hear a man make himself equal with God, that was deserving of punishment. In their own minds, they could have punished Jesus simply for breaking the Sabbath. But this was a charge of blasphemy. Jesus is making, he's saying that God is his Father. And when he makes that statement, he makes himself equal with God. And they sought to kill him. You know, the thing is, what they were protesting so loudly, and what they were getting so angry over, was absolutely true. Jesus is equal with God. He's the Son of God. He is the second member of the Godhead. Paul reminded people back in Philippians, the guy, and Jesus said, look, he didn't think it robbery to think himself equal with God. He didn't have to because he was who he said he was. We've just gone through the Christmas season remembering his birth. And Jesus was God incarnate. And there is nothing more unsettling to a depraved man than to come face to face with a holy God. Nothing is going to get him more worked up than to have his own depravity right there in his face. You see, Jesus, by proclaiming himself Lord of the Sabbath, by doing good on the Sabbath day, by healing, was showing these men that they weren't as powerful as they thought they were. They weren't the mighty guys that they've been convincing the people for years that they were. And so what do? They continue to plot. They continue to scheme how they might go about putting Jesus to death. Because that was the only solution from their perspective. You violate the law, you proclaim such blasphemy, there's nothing that we can do except put you to death. You've got to die for that. And there's another misunderstanding. Because they didn't understand. That's the whole purpose that Jesus was born. That's the whole reason he was there to begin with, was to die. To redeem sinners. To save you and me. And in so doing, show us more love and show us more grace than we could ever imagine or possibly deserve. What a mind-boggling thing. That Jesus loves you so much. That he would endure this scheming. That he would go through this ordeal for his church, the people that he loves. Let's pray.